Good morning, everybody. Good morning to you. What a joy it is to be in the house of the Lord this morning. We will now enter into the prelude. Thank you very much for that. I again want to welcome all of you here, whether you're a visitor or I should say a permanent resident. All right, at this time we will have anyone who has an announcement. I was handed one. The announcement, the Ladies' Aid is this Thursday at 6:30 p.m. in the quilting room. So all you who like, I understand it's working out well and we're thankful for that. All right, another announcement.
Good morning. Tuesday night, August 6th, is going to be the National Night Out in Myerstown. And our church is going to have a table there that's going to include a game and activity and then information about our church. And we need volunteers to help to sit at the table. The actual time for the event is 5:30 to 8 o'clock. And depending on the number of volunteers we get, we'll determine how long each shift would be. We would like to keep it to 45 minutes to an hour for each person. So there will be a sign-up sheet out in the gathering place at the end of the service today. So please consider joining us on National Night Out to represent our church. And it's a fun evening. So there's lots of kids and lots of fun. So that's Tuesday, August 6th from 5:30 to 8. Thank you.
I'm sure those type of programs are very interesting and challenging. And I would like to announce, too, that Coleman's Park program that they have will not be doing anything tonight, and I understand because of the weather. All right, let's all stand and sing our opening song, Are You Washed in the Blood? 468. That wonderful singing, and may we turn to the call to worship, 2 Corinthians 5:16-19. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh. yet now we know him thus no longer. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Let us repeat the invocation prayer together. Gracious and eternal God, we thank you for the bonds of love we share within your church. We thank you for Jesus Christ, who has joined us into one living body. Enable us by your Spirit to walk together in unity of love and purpose. No help one another. To live in faithful obedience to your will, by the justice and mercy of Sona. May your name be praised to Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. We will now be honored to have Elvina Kral and Rebecca Jenkins to come and sing for us.
Amazing Grace is a song I enjoyed all my life. I sang it in the youth choir many years ago. Recently, my son Sam sang it at my mother-in-law's funeral, and I was very touched. But it never had more of an impact on my life than when I heard it sung by a physically handicapped girl that my daughter Becky and I used to watch. She was in a wheelchair, had trouble communicating, and could not enunciate her words, but rather with great effort made sounds that if you listen carefully, you sometimes could understand. Despite her physical problems, she loved music and one time sang to us Amazing Grace. And as we listened carefully, we could understand the words as she sang with all her heart. As she got to the part, I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see, Becky and I looked at each other with astonishment and tears in our eyes. What I didn't tell you is that this girl who sang to us with all her heart was totally blind since birth. She brought new meaning to us with this song. I hope Amazing Grace brings new meaning to you also. We can see but be totally blind until we let God into our hearts. Certainly God was in this young girl's heart. May he be in your hearts as well. I will sing this song and then Becky and I will be doing a duet together.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. I have already come. me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun,
Recently, my daughter Becky felt it in her heart to sing to my mother-in-law, Nettie Crawl, while she was lying in her bed, her physical body dying, her spirit ready to go to heaven. Becky held her hand and started singing a song that made me realize that it summed up Nettie's life. Oh, how I love Jesus. I was moved and joined in harmony with Becky. We would like to share that with you now, followed by "There's Something About That Name," as you may think about your own life or someone you loved and went to heaven and how you love Jesus.
There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing of its worth. It sounds like music in my ear, the sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. It tells me of a Savior's love who died to set me free. It tells me of his precious blood, the sinner's perfect plea. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Me. It tells me of one whose loving heart can feel my deepest woe, who in each sorrow bears a part that none can bear below. Jesus, oh, how I love Jesus, oh, how Jesus, because he first loved me. Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, Jesus. Heaven and earth proclaim, kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name.
How beautiful those songs were. They touched my heart, and I know many times I called out to Jesus, and I'm sure each of you did this morning. All right. Before the offertory statement, I just gone through my poems that I have written for years, and I brought one along I would just like to read before we do the offering. And sometimes it just takes songs to stir us up and get us going again. And those were two special songs. The song, poem that I brought along is Your Light Shines Through. It was in the old days when things were not so handy. So down to the store we would go for our 1 cent to candy. It's down at the store they all gathered and had a great time, reminiscing and laughing and not spending a dime. Lifting our spirits are reaching out to each other. Others letting others know we're there to be a big brother. Life has a way of changing things, but oh, so many problems come to us. But with God on our side, we can all stand tall. Love is the answer that all of us seek. It is a language that all hearts can speak. A walk by the lilies and down through the park, we cannot all be listed in the Hall of Fame. Yet you can be thankful for God knows us all by name. So many of us are wishing for things we have not when we should be thankful for the things we got. Happiness is a gift we all can surely find if we put our heart to it and make up our mind. Give generously today some love, good cheer. You'll light up their life throughout the whole year. And I just feel that we need to be there. I got 2 calls this week. I said, I guess I ought to set up a counseling session with people who were hurting and hearts are heavy and they need help. So we need to be there for our people. We need to touch them. So let's say the offertory statement together. 1 Chronicles 29:11-12. Yeah, yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory, the victory and the majesty, for all that is in heaven and on earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you reign over all. Your hand is power and might. In your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. I would like the ushers to come forward now. The children may be dismissed now, too, to go to their junior church. Thank you.
Good morning. Good to see all of you here this morning. And I want to thank Grace for leading us this morning in worship. Today is our Bread and Cup Communion Sunday. Following the sermon this morning, we will partake of a bread and cup. And for those of you who, if you happen to be visiting here, our bread and cup communion here is open communion to anyone who is a baptized believer, anyone who has accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You are open to partake of communion. As we enter a time of prayer, I want to read a couple things here. First of all, from our Church of the Brethren mission. Each week we get a mailing about missions in the Church of the Brethren, what we need to pray for. And just want to read this. Give thanks for the safe travels of numerous leaders and members of the Church of the Brethren in Nigeria who attended annual conference. Also, pray for the 34 Church of the Brethren members traveling to Haiti this week to learn about and celebrate the church's Church of the Brethren presence in the country. So we need to lift up those needs this morning. Also, in your bulletin, you'll see an insert here, a list of a number of people that we need to remember in prayer. One prayer concern I want to lift up this morning. Last week, I mentioned Bruce Weaver's father passed away. His name was George Weaver, and his arrangements is today. The visitation is today. The visitation is from 2 to 3 at the Faith Mennonite Fellowship Church, and that address is 335 North Line Road in Stevens. And the memorial service is at 3 o'clock. In case you can't get there from 2 to 3, the memorial service is at 3. Let's come to our God this morning in prayer. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you and praise you for this opportunity to worship you this morning, to worship you in spirit and truth. Lord, I can't help but think of the song we just sung about breaking bread together and drinking the cup on our knees. Lord, on this Bread and Cup Communion Sunday, we humble ourselves before your holy throne. We thank you for the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the sacrifice of his life, the sacrifice of his body and blood, which we partake this morning in communion. We pray that we, each one of us, will come in a spirit of humbleness before you in this time of communion. Thank you for each one here this morning. We know that there are many on vacation right now who are traveling. We pray your traveling mercies and your presence to be with the many who are traveling at this time for vacations and events like that. And God, we want to lift up this morning the many people on our prayer concern list. We pray in particular for Bruce Weaver, whose father passed away. We pray, Lord, that you would give Bruce and the family comfort at this time. We also pray this week for the Church of the Brethren in the district that we're praying for, the Philadelphia First Church, and Winmore, Lord, we lift up Philadelphia First Church of the Brethren in prayer this week as a minister, Lord, in their community. We pray that you would uplift the pastor and the people of that church, Lord. Help them, Lord, to be a witness in the community. We pray for our country this time. We uplift and pray for our president, for your divine protection upon him. We pray that the decisions that the president and our members of the Congress make, Lord, would be in alliance with your word, with your principles. And Lord, that we all, as citizens of this nation, would honor our Lord God, where we would truly be one nation, but we are under the authority of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Help us to live that out. We pray now that you would open up our hearts and minds as we read your holy word, and that, Lord, that you would speak to us this morning throughout the service. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for what you're about to do. And we pray all these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Turn in your Bibles this morning to our scripture text. We're looking at Colossians chapter 1. And this morning, I'll be reading from Colossians 1, verses 19 through 28. Colossians chapter 1, verses 19 through 28. Hear the word of the Lord. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself. By him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. And you, who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. I now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ, for the sake of his body, which is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, from which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of his mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. May God add blessing to the reading of his holy word. Let us pray. Lord, I thank you for your word, which pierces our hearts, Lord, because it's such an important message we need to hear. I pray now that you would guide the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, that you be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to begin by asking you to think about this question. And the question is this: what kind of life are you living right now? What kind of life are you living right now? I remember discussing that question one time with a fellow truck driver. This was a long time ago when I was driving truck for the Brethren Service Center in New Windsor, Maryland. Our trucks went to several docks. We went to several warehouses. We would visit all these places, and we'd see these workers out there, factory workers. And I remember my coworker made a rather judgmental statement towards factory workers. He said, and I quote, "These people are just existing. They have no fulfillment in life. They have no life." And that made me think, well, which life are we talking about? You know, there are two lives we live. We live in this life, and we live in the life which is to come, which is our eternal life in Christ. Which life are we talking about? You could say the same thing about the Apostle Paul. He was really living no life here on earth. Think about Paul, who wrote this morning's text. He was living a life that many people would never want. I mean, do you really think Paul found fulfillment in his life on earth? Where was Paul in his life when he wrote this message in Colossians? He was a prisoner. Plus, to make things worse, the Bible says he had a thorn in his flesh, according to 2 Corinthians 12:7, which meant that Paul was living with some kind of physical ailment. We don't know what it was. He was living with some kind of physical ailment every day. And so think about it. Here is a man who is living in prison every day under the worst conditions. Prison life, believe it or not, was a lot worse then in Paul's day than it is today. Many times, Paul was chained to a guard. Plus, he was plagued with some kind of physical ailment. This is the life Paul was living on earth every day. And so naturally, people would look at Paul and think, well, he's just existing. He has no fulfillment in his life today. Yet look what Paul did. What was Paul able to accomplish as a prisoner? Think about this. He was able to speak about a Savior who heals. He was able to speak about a Savior who is able to provide a peace that passes all understanding. He was able to persevere against all odds. And through Paul's suffering that people saw when he was in prison, through Paul's suffering, people saw strength, which gave them victory in Jesus Christ. For Paul, the life we live today in this world is not the real life. Now, just let that sink in a little bit. For the Apostle Paul, the life that we're living is not the real life we're to live. It is rather our eternal life in Jesus Christ. And we struggle with that. I struggle with that, to see how this life is not the real life, especially when we're bombarded with things like, you know, enjoy life to its fullest. You live only once. Do everything that you can before you die, as if that this is the only life. Many people today are only living for this life in the world. They never think about eternity. But for Paul, your life is either in Christ or you're not in Christ. You are either living for Christ or you're not living for Christ. Either you have eternal life with God or you don't. And in today's lesson, we're going to see how we are separated from God or you are united with Him. In fact, Paul says every one of us at one time were separated from God. Look what he says. Colossians chapter 1, verse 21. Colossians 1, 21. Paul speaking to the people of the church, he says, "And you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he, that is Christ, has reconciled." Paul says all of us at one time were lost without Christ. And I want us this morning to look at that word from the Bible, which means reconciliation. What is reconciliation? You know, Paul tells us that in the church we are to be ministers of reconciliation. Now think about that. What does reconciliation mean? Reconciliation means that Christ changed us from our sinful ways, our sinful life, our sinful lifestyle, and brought us to God through Jesus Christ. Reconciliation means that He removed the enmity between us and God and brought you and I together with God through His shed blood on the cross. Another way of looking at this is to look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14. We don't have to turn there. But the Bible tells us there that He, that is Christ, is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation. Now, We all know what walls are. We all know what walls are. So walls separate us. There are walls today that separate people. There are walls between countries. There are walls between political parties. There's walls between the rich and the poor and the races, the different races of people. And, you know, we make up our own walls. Like, you know, my wife and I, we joke that there's walls between Yankees and Southerners. I'm a Yankee, by the way. She's a Southerner. Or maybe you heard the word Dutchified or not Dutchified. You know, we make our own walls. But the most important wall is the wall that Jesus Christ broke down. The wall of separation between ourselves and God himself. That's the message the church needs to hear. So how are we to live out reconciliation? We are to live out the message of reconciliation in the church. Now, why does it begin in the church? Because of what Jesus did for you and I as believers. We as believers were reconciled through Christ, were made right in Christ, and we are to not just sit as though that doesn't mean anything. We are to be intentional and be reconciled to one another in the church. We are to be intentional about bringing down our own walls that we have within ourselves and within the church. And to begin, I want us to think about what the opposite of reconciliation means. The opposite of reconciliation means alienation. You know, that's a big term today. Aliens. None of us want to be alienated. We don't want to be separated. Well, the opposite of reconciliation is separation from each other in the church. Now, the early brethren dealt with this problem of separation from the church in our history. We have a history where if a brother or sister in the church was living in sin, the church would practice the ministry of reconciliation. And what they did was they looked at the model Jesus gave us. And if you want to turn in your Bibles, we'll look at that. Matthew chapter 18, 15 through 20. This is the model that Jesus used for the early brethren when there was a sinning brother. It says, Matthew 18, 15 to 20, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. But if he will not hear, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. And if he refuses to hear them, tell to the church. But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector. Surely I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. Again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. Now, it's interesting to note that that passage was read to every person who was baptized in the church, in the early church, in the early brethren. Why? Because church fellowship was so important to the early brethren. And that's a good model for us to use in the church. Because the main purpose of Matthew 18, painful as it was not to be judgmental towards anyone, but it was to bring a person back into the fellowship of the church. It was to restore them back into the church. Reconciliation was the main goal. But I must say, reconciliation in the church today looks much different than it did with the early brethren. We have gone away from using the Matthew 18 approach of restoring someone back into the church. In fact, many times there isn't much of an effort at all to bring people back into the fellowship of the church. I want to give you an illustration of how this can change, though, for the better. And think of what a wall looks like. Some walls have no doors on them. They're just a plain wall and no windows. But it's always good to keep, to have a door or window open. We can choose to have a door of opportunity open, or we can choose to have no doors at all, which means alienation and separation in the church. What that says is that we need to make the best effort to keep a door open for anyone to go back into the fellowship. I know it takes work, it takes effort, sometimes it's not pleasant, but think of the consequences of a closed wall with no door or window. The result is alienation, separation. I remember when I bought my first house when I was living in Ohio. It was a ranch house, and the basement was a carpeted basement, and the previous owners chose to have their living room downstairs in the basement. I remember what it looked like. Part of the basement was carpeted and had these walls up here, and the TV and the cable was all there. And so when the realtor was showing me the house, the realtor said, well, this is where the previous owner has their living room. I looked around the living room. Three walls were there with no windows and no doors at all. The fourth wall had this real tiny little window up there where just a little bit of light came through. And so I told the realtor, I says, okay, I'm interested in this house, but this is not going to be my living room. I'm not going to have my living room downstairs. I can't stand having three walls with no windows and you know, the fourth wall only having a little bit of light. I can't take that. My living room has to be upstairs. And so what that says is that walls need to have a window. A wall needs to have light shining from the outside. Our walls need to have the light of Jesus Christ shining through to transform. But there's a higher principle here. When it comes to reconciliation, if you and I are not in fellowship with Jesus Christ, then there can be no reconciliation at all, because your relationship with Christ is the most important relationship there is. I mean, think about it. The church is the only place where you can have fellowship with Jesus. It's the only place where you can grow in your faith. Look what Paul says about this back in Colossians 1, verse 21. Colossians 1, verse 21. He says, and you who once were alienated by and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled. And you who once were alienated and enemies of your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present to you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. So in other words, your reconciliation with Christ and my reconciliation with Christ is the highest reconciliation there is. Without Christ's reconciliation, we are nothing but enemies of God and wicked, lost in sin, lost in fellowship with him. If we are not walking in the light of Jesus Christ, and if Christ is not living inside of us, that alienation will damage a church because Christ is not living inside of you. On this Bread and Cup Communion Sunday, all of us need to know that we need Jesus to live inside our hearts. We need this communion with him. Why? Because none of us want a broken relationship with Christ. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 15, 29 that Jesus gave communion to his disciples on the same night in which he was betrayed. Jesus knew that his life on this earth would end soon, and he was ready to be with God. And in his love for his disciples, Jesus gave them the bread and the cup. Jesus does the same act of love for you and me by giving himself for us this morning in communion. And this morning, it is important to know that we are partaking of this communion together as a church, which symbolizes not only our love for Jesus, but our love for each other. There is nothing like the love that we have for each other in the church. When you think about it, there isn't anything like the relationships, the fellowship we have in the church. There is no other relationship like the relationships we have as Christians in the church. This time of communion is a special time. It is a holy and sacred time, which means we should not enter into this time lightly, but reverently. Through Jesus Christ dying on the cross, you and I are no longer separated from God. We are no longer aliens of God, but we are bought and paid for through the shed body and blood of Jesus Christ. Let us now prepare ourselves for communion. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the reconciliation we have in Jesus Christ. And we pray, Lord, that as we partake of this communion, that Christ would truly come into our hearts. At this time, we confess anything within ourselves before you, Lord, because the Bible says we are to examine ourselves before we partake of communion. At this time, we confess our sins before you. We also read, Lord, that if we confess our sins before you, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And we thank you, Lord, for the sacrifice of Jesus Christ made for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hear these words as we prepare for a time of communion. As we draw near to celebrate the supper of our Lord, let us consider our great need of having our comfort and strength renewed, and how necessary it is that we come to the Lord's table with thanksgiving, faith, penitence, and love. Let us realize our oneness in Christ as we break bread together. Let us draw near to the one who hears our prayers as we humbly pray for mercy and grace. Let us unite our hearts as we pray together the prayer of consecration. Let us pray together the prayer of consecration. O God, by your grace, we have become part of the family of faith. We have made a commitment to Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Grant as we partake of this bread and this cup, we might renew our vows to one another and to the Christ whom we serve. Amen. The invitation for the bread and the cup. All who are in love and fellowship in the family of God, who do truly and earnestly repent of your sins, who humbly put your trust in Christ and desire his help that you might walk in newness of life, draw near to God and receive this holy communion to your comfort through Jesus Christ our Lord. Paul says from 1 Corinthians 11:23 to 26, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, also the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.' For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let us pray. O God, you are never far from us whenever we call on you. You reach out and touch us through your Holy Spirit, and through symbols, and through the hands of those we love. We come before you with our prayers and these symbolic elements of communion. All that we have and all that we are, we place in your hands. Let your love reach us anew through the bread and the cup. so that we may go into the world to share that love with others in a new and effective way through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. This time the deacons can come forward and distribute the bread.
Together, let us together say an affirmation of our faith.
Let us say the bread which we break is a communion of the body of Christ. Let's say that together. The bread which we break is a communion of the body of Christ. As we prepare to share this cup, let us say together our affirmation of faith regarding the cup. This cup of the New Testament is a communion of the blood of Christ. Let's say it together. This cup of the New Testament is a communion of the blood of Christ. Let's partake. And let us stand for our closing hymn, The Old Rugged Cross, number 429. Would you stand, please?
Thank you.
For our benediction, we're going to have a prayer of thanksgiving for our communion this morning. Let us pray. Almighty and loving God, we thank you for that through your great love, you have fed us with spiritual food from your table and have assured us that your goodness to us never fails. We give you thanks that we are members of the body of Christ, heirs with Christ, and brothers and sisters in your family. By your grace, assist us now in continuing our pilgrimage, that we may go our ways strong and faithful in our witness through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.